And coming up, a little tribute to a star who's going to be in town tomorrow, Miss Irma Thomas.
Happiness is free. Open up your eyes. Can't you see? You gotta bring it with you. Just before you start down that lonely road, open up your heart. Don't you know? You gotta bring it with you.
Was the current reigning soul queen of New Orleans, Miss Irma Thomas, and Irma is in town to play a show tomorrow, a benefit. And I'm going to tell you all about that in a minute. But right now, I am deeply honored to have the Soul Queen of New Orleans on the phone. Miss Irma Thomas, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for everything you've given the world. I just want to say that right off the bat.
It has been my pleasure.
And how are you doing these days, Irma?
So far, so good. I decided to have knee replacement surgery about 4 months ago. Other than that, I'm doing fine.
Did you do both of them or just one?
Just one. And only one needed, and that's all I did.
The other one's next, right?
No, believe it or not, it's doing just well. I mean, of course, when you favor one for a while, it was a bit tired, but it's getting better now.
Mm-hmm. Irma Thomas, born Irma Lee, February 18th, 1941, in Ponchatoula, Louisiana.
That's correct.
You had your first hit record in 1960. It was "You Can Have My Husband, But Please Don't Mess With My Man."
That's also correct.
You were, 19 at the time?
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty young for somebody to have a hit record, wasn't it?
I wouldn't know at the time. I was so naive, I didn't know the difference.
While I do have you here, Irma, of course, everybody listening knows who you are, and they don't know all the details, but can you give us a little picture of how it was back then? You grew up in New Orleans?
Yes, I did.
How was New Orleans back in the mid to late 50s?
Well, you had to think, well, most of them wouldn't know unless they were around my age. That was the years when rock and roll was coming into its own. Rhythm and blues was the major music of that era. It was either rhythm and blues, country, because they didn't call it what they call it now. They call it hillbilly music back then.
Mm-hmm.
And you had your gospel music. Those were the genres of music. There was no pop and that sort of thing. You either did rhythm and blues, you did gospel, or you did country, which is now, you know, it was hillbilly then, but they call it country now. And those were the genres of music. And of course, being during segregated times, if someone black had a hit record, it was always covered by somebody white, so it would get played on the air. And oftentimes the artist who initiated the song and was getting the hit on it gets smothered by the white artist who would cover it, which, that, you know, what was it? The Boone guy, he covered a lot of Fats Domino stuff. And
Pat Boone.
Yeah, Pat Boone covered a lot of Fats Domino stuff. And I can't think of the lady who used to cover a lot of other, you know, black female songs.
It's really ironic because his daughter's going to be at Yoshi's in Oakland next week doing a tribute to Rosemary Clooney. Yeah, I guess it just keeps going on and on and on.
Yeah.
Irma, you're going to be at Yoshi's in San Francisco tomorrow for a benefit.
Right.
A cancer benefit. And
yeah,
the whole show goes from noon to 5, and I know you're the headliner, so you're going to be playing more towards
the end of it, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And some local bands are going to be playing. And let's touch back on a couple of things that I've always been curious about. The Do Drop In New Orleans.
What about it?
It was
the club.
It was. It was an infamous club. A lot of people don't know about exactly what it was. And it was a large building that was different businesses all in one. It was a hotel, a barber shop, a restaurant, a nightclub. What did I miss?
Well, you covered them. You covered them all.
And who
anybody who ever was, anybody who came through the New Orleans area played the Do Drop.
Did you get to play there?
I sure did.
Speak about that experience.
I played there for quite a long time. I played there. Well, it was a major black club, and of course Joe Tex, B.B. King, Bobby Blue Bland, Johnny Taylor, you name them, they came through there, and even Etta James have played the Do Drop. And oftentimes a lot of artists who were on the road and they would, you know, traveling and they would get stuck in New Orleans, Mr. Frank Panier would give them some nights at the Do Drop, and his brother who ran the restaurant would give him some beans. We used to call it bullets. Bullets, because beans, you know, most people who eat beans have gas, so we called them bullets.
No rice with that, just the beans?
red beans and rice and cornbread most of the time, or biscuits, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that was the history of the Dewdrop. I mean, it was a well-known black club. And a couple of white entertainers have gotten arrested for being in there because they wanted to hear the black entertainers.
Really?
Oh yeah. Well, you got to think this is segregated time. So.
Sure, sure.
But it was still, it didn't harm the reputation of the club at all. In fact, it made people more curious about wanting to come there.
Wow. Kind of like the Cotton Club. No, not the Cotton Club South. No, not at all. Because that was all white people in a black neighborhood.
Right. But
that was the thing about the Dewdrop. The African American community had its own. It was almost like the Apollo Theater of New Orleans, right?
Right.
And I've heard so many stories about it, and yet I didn't get to go. And having been able to hang out, perform with, and record with all those legendary guys, looking back now, most all of them are gone. You and Alan Toussaint are left, and a few others, but. Those must be golden treasured memories, huh?
They are, and they were fun times. I mean, we in New Orleans, and I would assume other areas of the country where there's a lot of entertainers kind of in house in that city. We were like a family. I mean, we, you know, when one get down, they would go and have a benefit or something, and pick them up and help them pay whatever bills would do to keep them from getting put out and that sort of thing. So we were kind of like a family. We even background on each other's music from time to time. So, you know, it was one big happy family. I mean, we, like any other family, we didn't always agree, but we agreed to disagree.
Mm-hmm. Now, in your career, you had a song called Ruler of My Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that song was... Now, did you write Ruler of My Heart?
No, I didn't. That was Alan Toussaint, who wrote under the name of Naomi Neville.
Mm-hmm. And somewhere along the line, after you guys put it out, after you sang it, it got put out, Otis Redding came along with a song.
Called Pain in My Heart.
Which was
that situation was, I opened for Otis Redding in a place called the Branch Inn in Slidell, Louisiana, which is across the lake, about 20 miles away from the city of New Orleans. And I was his opening act, and he heard me singing Rule of My Heart. And he expressed that he, you know, he liked the song. And I, you know, I had no idea he was planning on redoing it. So he did do the song, changing the lyrics, but of course he had to give the writers to the original writer because he didn't change it enough to be able to take the song as one of his own.
Did it end up?
He came out with Pain in My Heart.
Did it end up in court?
I'm not sure. I don't know for sure, but whatever the situation was, he did have to give the writers credit to Alan Toussaint under his name, Naomi Neville.
Can we listen to a little piece of that right now?
If you care to.
Here, Ruler of My Heart, Irma Thomas.
Where can you be? I wait patiently. When you're alone, I've had enough. Make me a queen. Happy again. Hear my cry. Please, my king.
I got to admit that one of the reasons I played that is that's always been my favorite of your collection.
Wow. I get a lot of requests, but even now.
It's a timeless song.
Yeah, I would say so.
But a lot of the songs that you've done over the years have become that way. Your original first record, You Can Have My Husband, Please Don't Mess With My Man, has been covered by so many bands. Rock bands do that song. And sometimes they don't even know where it came from, but they just know it's a great song, you know? But, Irma, today, how are things going for you today? You're getting to travel some now. You had a club for many, many years called the Lion's Den in New Orleans, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And it was a unique club because your husband had a business connected to it, but on the back side of it, right?
Well, it initially started out as his club. It was just a neighborhood bar. And next door was a place that became available, and I started using it for rehearsals. And so one Thursday during Jazz Fest time, we were having rehearsal, and people started wandering in the middle of our rehearsal. And the businessman my husband is decided, hey, we can make money on this. So at there was Jazz Fest weekend, and I announced that I was going to be appearing there. We didn't even have a stage in the place. That's to show you how young it was. We didn't have a stage or anything in there. And I announced that I was going to be there when I played Jazz Fest that weekend. And you couldn't move. We were just totally floored.
When was that? What year was that, Irma?
Oh, God, we're talking...
In the 80s, right?
Back in the 80s, yeah.
And it lasted all the way up to Katrina, right?
Right, all the way up until Katrina. And people still want to know why we didn't go back. Well, you know, we were really getting to the point where we really wanted to get out of the club business, per se, because other than during Jazz Fest and maybe Mardi Gras season, and I would play there every once in a while. We didn't really, you know, we had the neighborhood business, which really wasn't as great off-season from Mardi Gras as it was during those times. So we were planning on getting out of the business. We were trying to sell it at that time. So Katrina just kind of helped us get out of it.
Interesting.
But people want to know why you don't go back to the Lions then. Why there's, you know, well... It's opened under a different club name now, and, you know, we were about to negotiate to go in there during Jazz Fest, but then I picked up some other dates, and I wouldn't have had the time to play there anyway. So.
Oh. Speaking of Irma Thomas, she's going to be at Yoshi's in San Francisco tomorrow. The show's from noon to 5, and you can catch Irma in the later part of it. Several different bands have benefit for the UCSF Helen Diller Family Comprehensive Cancer Center. And check the Yoshi's website, but it is from noon to 5 tomorrow. And Irma, one of the other things I wanted to ask is, did HBO has that show Tremé?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've been filming in New Orleans, and I've been an avid fan of it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been on Tremé?
Oh, yeah, it was in the first season.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And did they have you back in the second season?
No, but I'm in the third season.
You are. Because we've heard from some friends that that they were filming it in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Again, filming the third season, and I wanted to know if you were going to be in the third season.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is great. And what has Tremé done for New Orleans?
Well, what I can appreciate with what Tremé has done, it has brought to light a lot of the musicians who have been around for a long time but have never had that kind of showcasing.
Mm-hmm.
So it has showcased a lot of young musicians and some of the older ones, like I said, who've been around for a long time. And the other side of that is that they're telling the story, and it's right on mark. I mean, they've taken some, you know, liberties with it, but by the same token, it's based on truths. So it's not so far, they haven't taken liberties where they've stretched it so far where it's not based on the truth. It's all based on truth that they've taken liberties to be able to tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have us talking like strange people.
That's very good.
So they've really taken it, and they're doing New Orleans as New Orleans is.
And being a New Orleanian yourself, that's where I wanted to get it from, because I live out here, and I love watching the show, but I sometimes do wonder, is it true to the town? And
it's based on facts of things that have actually happened at some time, at some point in the city during the aftermath of Katrina, because that's what the storylines are based on, how the city is recovering since the storm. So it's all based on some facts, and like I say, as most movies and TV shows do, they take liberties in how they tell the story, but it's all based on truth.
And as a New Orleanian yourself, how is New Orleans?
It's coming along great. In fact, we're further along than I would have expected it to be after 7 years of having, you know, been through what we've been through. A lot of folk who were shipped out of there, and I say shipped out because they were just picked up and hauled off to these places where they didn't know where they were going, who haven't gotten back yet, but they're even beginning to set up a situation where those who want to come home will be able to come home. So that's a good thing. And those of us who are there have rebuilt, and Some are still in the rebuilding stages. Of course, you know, crooks come out when bad times are in.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have gotten taken, but even those who got taken are getting help now. So the city is coming along. It's like any other major city. We have our problems, but it still haven't disheartened us. We're still a strong city that survive. We're in survival mode, and so we are surviving.
Stronger for it, too, huh?
And much stronger for it.
And not to get too far off the track here, but in Spike Lee's documentary, he pointed out the plight of Charity Hospital.
How beautiful, it was, big building just sitting there.
Yeah, and it was going to be torn down, and then a 250-year-old neighborhood next to it was going to be razed and knocked down to build a massive medical center. What's the update on that?
They did razz the neighborhood, and they are working on a new medical center, but Charity Hospital is still there, and it's still a viable building. It's puzzling a lot of New Orleanians why they're not using that building for whatever. I mean, the only part of that building that got messed up was the basement area, so you have another 10 or 12 floors of hospital there that could be used for something useful. So maybe some of the investors in the world may come down and take a look at it and make a useful need out of it, because that was, to be honest with you, other than being an old hospital, it didn't get as much damage as they wanted you to believe. Mm-hmm. Only the basement part of it got damaged, but the rest of the hospital is in pretty good shape and could have been refurbished and maybe brought up to date and used, but political powers that be, as always.
Yes, yes.
I don't have to say any more up to that point.
You got it, Irma. You got it. And the wonderful thing is that you've been able to live your life and have your effect on the whole world with your music.
Well, you know, I love what I do, and when they asked me after the situation took place in New Orleans, where are you going? I said, I'm going home. Why would you want to go home? Why not go home? That's home to me. And when you say home to a person, be it New Orleans, New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, when you say home, people should understand what home means to you. You shouldn't have to explain why you want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, San Francisco and Los Angeles have had their earthquakes. People still want to go home. So, you know, why would they question someone wanting to go home even though we've had a flood? It's home.
Yeah.
And that's self-explanatory.
Well, and Tremé, to get back to that for a second, was so poignant in this last season when one of the main characters who owned a bar, a woman, a married woman,
mm-hmm.
and she had been brutally attacked, and she had every reason to move away.
But she didn't.
And she finally decided at the end of the second season, no, we're staying here.
That's right. It's home.
It's
home.
It almost sounded like a collective voice of so many New Orleanians.
It is. It really is. We've had more deaths of folk who died who couldn't get back home than the ones who actually made it back home, because people don't realize homesickness is a sickness.
Yeah.
When someone's heart and mind is somewhere and they can't be there, they're no longer themselves. They can't function like they are accustomed to functioning. So, you know, it's sad, but that has happened, and I'm sure it's going to continue until those people can get back to where they want to be. And not so much just New Orleans, but anyone who's away from where they want to be and can't financially get there, that's a problem for that person. So, you know, it's understandable why when a person says, I want to go home, let them go home.
Yeah. Irma Thomas here on KZSU. She'll be at Yoshi's in San Francisco tomorrow for a show from noon to 5, and you can catch Irma later on in that time slot. Irma, how was Jazz Fest this year?
Wonderful. We had beautiful weather, everything. Everybody had a great time. You know, we couldn't have asked for a better situation this year.
Really?
Really.
That's just great. If any town needs that, New Orleans does.
And we're discovering that more big names want to come.
That's great.
And that's a good thing.
Yes.
Once they've gotten, as I say, once the mosquito has, the New Orleans mosquito have bitten you, you're in.
Irma, what's in store for your future? What's going on? Are we going to hear a new recording on you soon?
I'm hoping to have a project between now and the end of the summer, and I'm getting older, but I'm not ready to quit yet.
Now, Rounder got sold, but are you still on the label?
Well, it's always been a record-to-record deal.
Okay.
And, if the projects come from Rounder, so be it. If not, wherever the project come from, I will be doing it.
Yeah, well, at your status, you could probably make a phone call any day and anybody want to record with you. What would you like to do recording-wise?
I would like to just get a good, great record out that doesn't particularly have a story behind it, just some great songs.
Uh-huh.
Everything now has to have a story or incident or something connected to it, some theme or other, which makes no sense. I mean, why can't an artist just go in the studio, get a collection of good songs, record, and put them out there for their fans? I mean, fans are not all caught up in themes.
Right.
But that seems to be the marketing situation.
Exactly.
I have to have a theme. So
that's it.
If someone can come up with a theme and they want to record Irma, fine. I don't have a problem with it, but I think it's a waste in that so many artists who don't necessarily have that, thing in mind, who have some great songs that they just want to put out there, why should they have to deal with a theme?
Do you write your own songs these days?
When it comes up, I do, and I don't make a big effort at it, but when something comes to mind and I feel strongly about it, I put it down and record it.
And are you okay to cover other people's songs?
I don't have a problem with it at all. I've been doing it for over 50 years.
I know, and I was going to say, are there contemporary songs that you hear today that you think, man, I'd like to try that?
Yeah, I haven't sung it yet, and the guys want to know why. I haven't done that Rolling in the Deep by Adele. I think it's a great song, but I haven't bothered, because most of my shows, when I perform, they want to hear my stuff, so I really don't have any room to put anything that way in lately.
Sure.
Which is okay with me. I'm not knocking it, but, every now and then you like to sing something different.
Mm-hmm. Now, we just lost a real icon.
And I used to do a lot of her stuff back in the 80s when her music was popping.
Really?
I did.
We're talking about Donna Summer now.
Yes, I did 9 to 5. I did, Last Dance. Oh,
wow.
I mean, I did MacArthur's Park. I did all that stuff.
Now, did you guys ever meet?
Believe it or not, never met her.
That's how that business goes, huh? She never came to New Orleans, huh?
Well, if she did, she probably came on a time when I was out, and I don't remember her ever coming, to be honest with you.
Interesting. But her
they
music...
They say she did. I mean, when they were announcing her death, they mentioned that she had been there, but it was for a charitable situation, which was not necessarily open to the general public, but for a school or something she came in support of. So,
mm-hmm.
But I never got the opportunity to meet her.
But her music did affect you.
Oh, yes. I mean, that was one of my mainstays.
Amazing. That's very interesting, that because they re-aired her interview, Donna Summer's interview with Terry Gross on Fresh Air yesterday, and she was so innocent. She was a comedian that wasn't going to be a singer and kind of got duped into it, and the whole thing blew up, and she didn't even like that sex symbol stuff they put on her from the marketing point. She just, wanted to be a performer.
Right.
We lost another one this week, too, Donald Duck Dunn.
I don't know that person.
Well, he was the bass player in Booker T's band, in the house band at Stax. Green Onions and all that stuff. And he was in the Blues Brothers band, too.
Okay.
And I did wonder, since he was from the South, had you two ever run across each other at all?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Okay.
It's funny because a lot of the folk in the Memphis area, we never really met up until some in the last 10, 15 years, all that time. And oftentimes I got connected to the Memphis Sound because they figured that Irma Thomas was related to Rufus and Carl and all.
Yeah.
But we're not related at all. But Rufus used to claim, because he said every time he turned around and people were asking him, how was I doing? So he just said that was why I was one of his other kids. Although I think he has a daughter named Irma. She spells hers E-R-M-A.
Really?
I think so.
Very interesting.
So. Yeah.
You're listening to KZSU Stanford. We're talking to Irma Thomas. And Irma, we're going to wrap this up because I know you're busy.
Yeah.
You're going to be performing tomorrow at Yoshi's in San Francisco.
Yes.
And
with a local group of musicians.
That's right. That's right. Mr. Austin DeLone is going to put that all together.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be fun had by all. And Irma, I just want to wish you all the best.
Thank you.
As a DJ, I hope I hear a brand new record out, a record that you want to do. Not some formula, not some theme record. That
right.
record you described, I hope I hear that in the next little while.
You and me both.
and the next time you get back out here, I want to get you live in the studio so
okay.
I can look in your eyes when I'm talking to you.
Okay, that sounds like a plan.
Irma Thomas, thank you for everything you've given the world, and please keep giving it.
I hope to. Thank you so much.
We'll see you tomorrow, okay?
Okay. Bye-bye.
You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Irma Thomas right there. Let's go out on this Irma Thomas interview with her first original classic record, You Can Have My Husband, But Please Don't Mess With My Man, the original.
The New Orleans Musicians Clinic provides affordable medical care and referrals to the more than 1,800 musicians and their families in the New Orleans area who have no other health care options to rely on. With federal funding ending and monetary donations dwindling, the NOMC is offering a special anniversary digital-only release of Get You a Healin', which features performances by Dr. John, B.B. King, Irma Thomas, and others. You can download it today at iTunes or Amazon.com. To make a cash donation, log on to www.NewOrleansMusiciansClinic.org.
The mission of Make It Right is to be a catalyst for redevelopment of the Lower Ninth Ward, a New Orleans neighborhood devastated by Hurricane Katrina. The group's focus is on the construction of green, affordable housing. To achieve this, they work with local, neighborhood-led coalitions to ensure the area retains its original character, allowing former residents to return. To help support their efforts, visit www.MakeItRightNOLA.org. That's www.MakeItRightNOLA.org.